Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning. Reacting to the firing of Brian Callahan by the Tennessee Titans. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Nick Suss, who does a great job covering the Tennessean, or covering the Titans for the Tennessean. Nick, good morning, buddy. How we doing?
Regular? It's Titan season. How are you guys?
It's a pretty good way to put it. Doing well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Nick, I'll start here. I mean, look, Brian Callahan's 4-19. The fact that Brian Callahan has gotten fired is really not all that surprising. What do you make of kind of the way it went down, though? Yesterday on a Monday, they fire Callahan. It takes a little while for them to name Mike McCoy as the interim head coach. I think clearly some Titans employees in scramble mode yesterday. So does that tell you that this basically came from maybe Adam Strunk, regardless of Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi talking about just the nice conversation and collaborative decision they came to yesterday? How do you read this?
So my understanding, the McCoy delay is not something that I'm necessarily buying into. My understanding is that that decision was in the can, and the delay to name him had more to do with the decision makers wanting to call all of the people who are affected by the news before they went to the media. Now, does that change any of the other facts? Maybe not, probably not, but I'm not going to read too much into specifically the four-hour delay on naming an interim coach. With the decision being made on a Monday morning after a loss, and the phrase that Brinker used yesterday was continuous frustrations and the lack of growth and all that stuff, yeah, it's a little bit of a surprise for it to come a couple hours after a game on a Monday morning when they're, what, six games into a season. That part does read a little bit like there was some frustration from the top and the decision was sent down from on high. But I also do believe that as much as we're out to find a bogeyman here, as much as we're out to get into the palace intrigue, if something tells you it's a duck enough times, you believe it. I do think that Chad Brinker is in charge of the football operation right now. And I do think that he and Borgonzi have a little bit more agency than we're making it out. This is Amy's football team, and it's always going to be Amy's football team. And there is no hiding that or denying that. But let's not 100% take them out of the equation here. I do think that the decision to fire Brian Callahan belongs to much more than just, oh, Amy wanted him gone. Like, I do not believe it's that simple.
Okay. That's interesting, and it's good information on McCoy. I mean, first of all, I would argue that we do know who the boogeyman is. It's Amy.
Sure.
I mean, like, we've got years of
sure.
You know, but I guess to follow up on that, though, we all knew it was coming, right? I mean, basically,
yeah.
I think Brian Callahan post-game Sunday was kind of like, it just looked like a guy to me. It was like, yeah, whenever it's going to happen, let's go. But it still seems odd to me. Yeah, of course, this week that those guys would you know, when they wanted to give him the season or give him as much time as possible, all of a sudden make that – right? I think the timing and the Vrabel coming in thing, to me at least, intensifies the idea that this came from on high. Am I off base on that?
No, and there is no way we're ever going to – no, specifically, because that's not the sort of thing Amy's going to say. And I put in the request, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that put in the request to want to talk to her about this. And we'll see if she ever responds and gives her perspective on the last 4 years of dealings. But the timing makes everything look really bad. And you can talk to people, and I've talked to people who say this has nothing to do with Vrabel. It has everything to do with things looking worse before they're looking better. It has everything to do with the growth narrative that they were talking about. It's impossible to separate the truth from the fact that in 5 days they're going to play Mike Vrabel. Now, would it have been satisfaction for him if they fired Callahan after that game? Would it have been possible for the Titans to beat the Patriots? All of this is friggin' possible. We understand that football is fickle and weird. The timing, for me, just comes down to, man, they really were not happy with the way things were going. And also, they've got a big game this weekend. I don't think it's so. I think it's and also, if that makes sense.
So, in the meantime, they've hired Mike McCoy as the interim head coach here, and we'll see how that process played out. And you know, Brinker made sure to strike the balance last night of talking about leading the search and also giving Mike McCoy every opportunity here. So, I guess, barring some dramatic improvement here, Nick, if you're on the outside, if you're a Joe Brady, a Mike McCarthy, all the names that are going to come up throughout this process, how attractive is this job right now? Because you've got all this turnover, and people are going to point to Cam Ward, and they're going to say, "Wow, that's why it's attractive." But right now, Cam Ward's not very good. So, like, how do you view all this if you're an outsider, as the Titans are going to go through a coaching search here?
I think it's actually the two examples you gave there were Brady and McCarthy, right?
Yeah.
I think that that's actually a really good way to look at it, because I think it's not a particularly attractive job if you are a guy who is taking your first risk on proving you can do this. So if you're Joe Brady, if you've never been an NFL head coach before, if you've never been a head coach, period, before, I wouldn't look at this as a particularly attractive job. The roster's not very good. You're going to inherit a quarterback that wasn't of your choosing, and you're going to a place that has documented it will fire people very, very quickly. We all know this. Those are just facts, especially because the Titans are going to emphasize experience coming off of an era where experience was lacking. If you're a first-time head coach, I do not necessarily see this being an attractive job. If you're Mike McCarthy, if you're Vance Joseph, if you're Brian Flores, Arthur Smith, if you're one of these guys who is going for a second go-around or a third go-around in McCarthy's case, I do think it's pretty attractive because you'll be able to sell yourself as the anti-Brian Callahan. You'll be able to sell yourself as the I can get things back to level type candidate, and you know how to take over a team, you know how to install this stuff, and you look around, for as talent deficient as this roster is, if you hire a coach and sell him on, we're going to get a top three pick and we're going to trade back and we're going to turn that into three more picks and we'll give you full control over three top 50 picks, plus you get Cam Ward and a couple of years of Ridley and Snead and some of these players that are theoretically top 10, top 20 in their position across the league. I do think it's a little bit more attractive for those guys. But yeah, I would stay away if I was a first-time coach.
So Nick, obviously Cam Ward has struggled. The offense has struggled. The coaches have struggled to help him. I mean, they've struggled collectively to move the ball, to score points, to have efficient numbers. Do you think that they can't overhaul everything, but do you think that Mike McCoy can do anything to get more out of him to actually, you know, I guess sort of jumpstart progress? And what kind of changes? They're going to talk about change. They referred to that last night, the changes. Obviously, there's some coaching changes, but what kind of changes could do that?
Yeah, I don't want to just say no and move into the next question, so let me elaborate a little bit, I guess. I think that when you make a change in season like this, the changes that happen are much more related to motivation and team morale and team attitude than they are schematics. I do not think that you can overhaul the offensive scheme. I do not think you can overhaul the playbook and that sort of thing at this point in the season. I do think you can change and affect the way the players approach their preparation, approach the week. You can get more of a sense of urgency. You can do all of those things. And maybe if you emphasize certain things more, if you go more into no huddle, if you go more into simplifying Cam's reads, the output can be different. but it's going to be really tough to change the actual approach. The plays are the plays. You can ask Cam what he likes, and you can do a little bit more of that and lean into it, and maybe you can install 2 to 5 new plays a week. But while you're game planning week in and week out and studying and understanding opponent tendencies, you can't also fully re-engineer yourself. So give it to them for motivation. And look, I think you said something, or one of you guys said something about, oh, maybe McCoy can earn this for himself. Last time the Titans had an interim, he went 2-7 and got the job.
Yeah.
The wins are not necessarily the thing you're looking for here. It is how much different does the team respond to this guy than the last guy? And when the staff is by and large staying the same, there's maybe a couple of changes here and there, it truly is response to the top. And so we will see how players respond to Mike McCoy. Tomorrow we're going to be in the locker room and 90 players are all going to say, oh, I love Mike McCoy. He's a great guy to be around. You love his experience. They're going to have the company line. We will see what translates on the field reflecting that.
Nick, last thing for you here. So, you know, as you're well aware, it's a pretty common occurrence for the Titans the last few years, and kind of the follow-up to all of it has been, all right, well, who's next? Like when they fired Carthon, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that Callahan was going to be next on the chopping block. So is it Brinker? Like Brinker seems to have really entrenched himself here over the past few years with Amy Adams Strunk. Is he completely safe at this point? Like, I know I'm asking you a question that somewhat requires getting in the mind of maybe Adam Strunk, and that's a hard thing to do over the last few years, but how do you view that part of it?
My read is that Amy really trusts Brinker. Does that mean he's not next? I don't know. Nobody knows. But my read is that the leash for him is a little bit longer than people are giving it, given that even though he's been here 3 years, I do have some guess that it's a little bit viewed more like this is the starting point, that him and Borgonzi are starting anew together, even though obviously he has the 2 years under Carthon to go along with it. Yes, it would stand to reason that he would be next in line, but I think that him and Borgonzi are a little more married than maybe we're giving it credit. For better or worse, I know there are some people who want Borgonzi to have more decision-making power. I full-heartedly believe he's in charge of the roster, and whether or not that's enough, fans can pick what they want to pick. But yeah, I think that those two are more connected as a future than maybe we think, because we've been here long enough to remember how long he's been here.
Well, Nick, it's never boring around here, man. Appreciate you taking time out of what I know is a busy day for you to join us, and we will talk to you soon, my friend.
Yep, appreciate y'all.
Nick Suss from the Tennessean does a great job covering the Tennessee Titans. We'll react to what Nick had to say. Get your thoughts on the firing of Brian Callahan by the Tennessee Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Titans fire Brian Callahan, Mike McCoy, the interim head coach, taking your reaction to that all program long, all day long, here on 102.5 The Game, 615-737-1025. Let's head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Daryl in Hendersonville to the program. Daryl, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Morning, gents. Thanks for taking my call. You know, watching their body language last night and the interaction, the limited interaction that they had with each other, the two things that occurred to me is, number one, Brinker was totally out of his element. That was a guy that had no confidence in his own abilities. You can tell that he's out of his league, very uncomfortable. And number two, Borgonzi looked like a guy that couldn't wait to be out of there and couldn't believe that he's working for an idiot like Brinker. My skin crawled watching those two bozos. I'm going to give Borgonzi a little grace here because he is only a year out. But the thing that I was most infuriated by was when Brinker made the statement, well, we've got nine Super Bowls in this organization. What a load of crap. just because you've been the janitor in a building that won a Super Bowl, it makes no reference to the fact that you had anything to do with it. Just being close to an organization doesn't mean that you were a decision maker in any shape, manner, or form. I was totally embarrassed for those two guys. And Amy, I don't know what the hell she's doing. She obviously doesn't know what she's doing. But Brinker in particular just makes my skin crawl.
Thank you, Darryl. Appreciate the call. Well, we talked about that earlier, Joe. Like there's nothing that Brinker is going to be able to say that's satisfactory when he's asked about, you know, why he should be trusted by Titans fan given what's all going on, right? Like there's nothing he's going to be able to say that Titans fans are like, oh yeah, okay, good, cool. So I understand that. One thing he's got to stop talking about, and this is not the first time, last night's not the first time he did it, where he starts talking about like the skins on the wall that the front office has and the Super Bowls that they've won, the 9 Super Bowls that you've been a part of. Nobody here cares. They don't care. And by the way, that's not demonstrated itself at all to this point on the actual on-field product.
It actually makes you look worse. So you took nothing from the winning organization.
Right, cool. Exactly. And it's, you know, to Darryl's point, just because you were a part of winning organizations in a lesser role than what you have here does not mean that you know what you're doing. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. By the way, this is what organizations who don't win do. They go hire people from organizations who win. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't. And right now it hasn't with the Titans. But, I mean, look, Brian Callahan, he came from a winning organization, right? I mean, he was the offensive coordinator of a team that made it to the Super Bowl, didn't he?
Rand Carthon came from multiple winning organizations.
And how'd that work out for the Titans?
Right.
Brutal. So, look, I don't even know if at this point Brinker has anybody advising him. I don't know that he cares to listen to it. I don't know. I don't know how Chad Brinker operates. But my advice to him would be, on behalf of all Titans fans, stop going back to that well, because nobody here cares where you were before.
I would advise to never say it again. And also to not talk about how you're just as bothered as the fans. I mean, everybody in this league, you're hired by different organizations. You've built yourself up to be able to have these jobs. Good for you. Fans are there throughout all the ups and downs. Don't try to compare yourself to the fans.
Yeah, he gets paid to watch. Fans pay to watch.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a both of those things, take them out of your mouth. I agree that, like, I don't want to read too much into it because, yeah, some people do that a little too much. And you're not always right. But I would agree, like, in general, that, like, the body language – it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The whole thing with Chad every once in a while. You answered. I mean, there was a lot to that.
Well, that's a tough question. Go ahead, Mike. Take that one.
Yeah, I did not come away more confident in this front office's ability to get this figured out after the press.
Well, I said, look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend to get in the head of Mike Borgonzi, but I said it last night. I was kind of joking about it, but it's, I mean, go watch his face. Like, Mike Borgonzi had the look of a man that totally regrets taking a job. That's what he looked like. He's like, oh, my God, what have I done? Like, we talked about that a little bit last year with Callahan. Like, oh, God, what have I gotten myself into with this place here? And I've said it before. Like, look, there's a difference between going through an interview process and looking at the history of a place while not really being all that familiar with it and taking a job and then living it and experiencing it and on the day-to-day of what it's like here. Like, right now, they're a horrific organization. That's what they are at the moment.
No doubt. So after talking to Nick, do you open the door at all on this wasn't just Amy deciding to fire Brian Callahan?
I mean, the McCoy thing still doesn't make any sense to me.
You don't need, like, 4 hours.
You don't need four hours to call. Like, hours. You got a phone book? Like, you couldn't get a hold of people?
Yeah. Oh, hey, I need the yellow pages. Hold on. Oh my gosh, do you have their number?
By the way, like, even if you're waiting to contact everybody, you could still just be like, all right, we fired Callahan. Let's go ahead and bring McCoy in here and tell him that he's got the interim coaching job, and just keep it under wraps for a minute, and we're going to make our phone calls here. But yeah, like, I just. No,
did they call every assistant? Everybody?
Yeah. Did they call the entire organization?
Yeah.
Like, each player?
Like, when you
get out the directory, get out the staff directory, and go through.
We said it earlier.
Every single one.
You said it earlier, and I totally agree, which is, like, the way the timing of yesterday went, That's either they were caught off guard and, oh, crap, we got to scramble and figure this out because, oh, Amy decided to do it. Or, like, they really are incompetent.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, I don't think that there's – I don't think there's a third option there. There's no – if this was a thing that you had thought out carefully and had planned to do, you have a 7:30 p.m. presser? I've never seen that before. I mean, that's absurd. The only way that makes sense, all the timing of this yesterday, is that, okay, didn't think this was going to happen, but she did it. We got to do it. And I still think you probably could have gotten some things done quicker. But that at least is understandable. If this was actually, like, their doing and this was their plan, then, like, I don't even know what to say about it. Yeah. It makes no sense.
Let's head back to the phone line. Welcome in Dustin in Hopkinsville to the program. Dustin, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Titans fans, this call's for you. I brought my crowns today to explain it very, very carefully to where you can understand it. And I only brought red and blue like Cracker Barrel supplies. Guys, we're part of the problem. Stop going to the games. Stop buying the apparel. Okay? Everything this team does is in hiding. Look at what was going on yesterday, Monday. How often do the Preds play a game at, what, 11, 12 o'clock on a Monday in a season, and then they fire the coach while the game's going on? You guys aren't on the air. They come on, what, 2 hours after the firing? Then there's a game going on, NFL game, last night. And then you talk about how Brinker, but just does – he looks incompetent. He is incompetent. And the fact that Nick Suss is telling us that she really trusts this guy is just more bad news. You know, I've been asking, begging for Callahan to be fired since last year. Okay? It came, and now I'm like, okay, great. Where do we go from here? Stop going to the games. Stop paying Amy to supply this team. If it wasn't for the stadium, I could see this team eventually being sold to somebody who's another state that's more competent. Have a good one.
Thank you, Dustin. Appreciate it. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the firing of Brian Callahan. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A lot of thoughts coming in on the text line.
Yeah, Mark from Ashton City, I'm going to send all your texts, like, screaming about how Amy actually doesn't need to be accountable. I'm just going to send them to Karski. He can deal with you tomorrow. I'm not going to get into it with you. I'm just not. Like, you're welcome to think that, like, we should just all be happy. Brian Callahan got fired as a bad coach. What are we complaining about? What are you guys were yelling about? The problem was solved.
It was a bad coach?
The problem was solved. They fired Brian Callahan. Everything's fine. Some people asking about why aren't we talking about the Preds today?
NFL team fired their head coach, guys.
Yeah, and this text was like, "Oh wow, like we didn't know that was gonna happen, but it did happen, right?" Day after, like, the local professional football team or the local professional hockey team fires someone major in the organization, we're probably gonna talk about that. Especially when good for the Preds, they are 2-0-1.
They are three.
There's 79 games left. Good start. I think today warrants Titans talk.
I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree.
Long fuse.
So where do they go from here? That's the question, right? I mean, it's, you know, in some ways, I feel like we've done this show before because we have four times.
Where will they go from here every 6 months?
Where do they go from here? You know, is Brinker next on the chopping block? I guess we'll have to wait and see on that front. But in the meantime, you're going to have to figure out who your next head coach is going to be. And we're going to have, I think, months to discuss that because that's what happens when you fire your coach in October.
Hey, at least we can get a little bit of, like, draft talk can be put aside.
That's true.
For the new coach.
Does delay the draft talk, which I'm cool with. I am totally cool with that. So the bottom line is this. I mean, again, this goes back to multiple things being true. No problem with Brian Callahan being fired. I called for Brian Callahan to be fired like 3 weeks ago. No problem with Brian Callahan being fired. He was bad. Everything around him was bad. The operation was bad. And it was obvious to everybody who wanted to pay attention to it that he's a bad head coach. So I have no problem with the Titans firing Brian Callahan. However, the Titans firing Brian Callahan does not absolve them for all the other problems that are also wrong with the Tennessee Titans, which is why they are where they are in the NFL here. And ownership is at the top of that list. We know that. I think Brinker is involved with that too. Borgonzi, we'll see. We'll see what that looks like here in the next year or two with him and how quickly he can turn this roster here and what that looks like. But in the meantime, Joe, you've got Mike McCoy as an interim head coach. You got an NFL trade deadline coming up here in a few weeks on November the 4th that you've got to deal with. And then presumably after that, a coaching search that you've got to handle if you're the Titans here. So now that Callahan's gone, what's your plan of attack here if you're the Titans? Where do things go from here? As we get into the coaching discussion over the next few months, what are you looking for in that next head coach?
Yeah, it's a great question. To me, Cam Ward is central, of course. Everybody speculates, oh, is Brinker next or is Brinker safe because Amy Trout, whatever. But we know that like everybody there who decided, you know what, that guy's worth the number one overall pick. Like that is your ticket to being, you got to go if it becomes clear that he shouldn't have been the number one pick. And it's not now. It's six games.
Right.
A terrible team, so it's a rough start. By like late next year, could it become clear? Or I mean, you know, then you get into about the same amount of like games that Levis got, and we were all pretty sure we know what he was slash is right now, right? So you get to that point, and now like it could be a clean house thing, right?
Yeah.
So he's central, but also there is more to it, and so I hope that they are open to, yes, the Brady, the Kingsbury, who else is in that vein? You know, Matt Nagy has been a head coach. He'd be the play calling head coach. But also, I think they should be open to the Flores. Jesse Minter. I mean, he's young, but he's done pretty well as a DC. The culture coach. I guess it's like you split it up by offense and defense.
Yeah,
I like the idea of a coach with head coaching experience. I don't hate the idea of Mike McCarthy. He's not perfect, but I mean, Mike McCarthy knows how to be a CEO of a football team and win.
He's not totally incompetent.
Yeah. He needs a clock assistant if he gets the job. But I think they should be open to all things. When you fire people this fast, maybe you get out of the hole. Well, Vrabel was the culture. Now we need the offense. You know, like going opposite of what you just did before it. When it happens this fast, you may as well be open to everything.
Yeah. And, you know, I think – you shouldn't limit your options with the next head coach. Like if you're approaching it under, well, it's Cam Ward. We got to get everything figured out for Cam Ward. So that means it has to be an offensive guy and it has to be one of these young and up and coming offensive coaches. I think it's a big mistake to operate that way. I'm not saying it can't be one of those guys. Like I'm not necessarily opposed to a Joe Brady, right? Like if you feel like he's really good and is going to be the next big thing as a coach, great. Go hire him. But I think to operate that way, and that's just like that's what we're going for, would be a mistake. Like I think you need to interview and consider most of these guys, right? Like all these different options, and then come away with who do you think is the best fit to lead your franchise at that moment. And if that's Brian Flores and he's a defensive guy, cool. I don't care. Just get a good head coach in. That's the only thing I care about. Get a good head coach. I don't care if they're an offensive head coach or a defensive head coach. Get a good one. That's what I care about.
Yeah, and if they aren't the Callahan model, the model that's in it for a lot of teams, and obviously it's very important who they hire as OC. It's very important who they hire as quarterbacks coach. Again, when they brought in Vrabel was the leader of men coach who really came in for also a leader of men coach in Mularkey, although Mularkey elevated in this league by being a really good OC with the Steelers back in the day. But it was a leader of men head coach. And really, John Robinson kind of just paired him with your favorite coach of all time, Matt LaFleur.
Yeah.
It worked. You know, it didn't work out in terms of Mariota, but eventually they get a scrap heap quarterback, and it all works out, obviously. You got to have a CEO. Like, whatever they missed with Callahan, and everybody, all of us should raise our hands. I didn't see anybody first guessing that hire at all. It was celebrated. It was like, wow, they actually got this dude. Other people wanted him. This totally makes sense. Good model. But whatever they missed there in terms of – because he was in over his head.
Yeah.
And he has not – like the two quarterbacks now, we just haven't seen progress. At some point, you got to look at the coach, right?
He's back coach.
So whatever they missed in that process, they need to apply to this one because it's going to be, I think, the same people. Who knows? I mean, like listening to Nick earlier, it's like – you know, again, it's like, well, you know, Bergonzi, I'm pretty sure, you know, the personnel and Amy Trust bring again, it's all this secretive gray area cloak and dagger stuff, and it's just it seems doomed to me. But they're going to get to hire another coach, so maybe they'll get lucky.
And this is what happened. But this is, you know, this is what happens when you operate the way you've operated if you're the Titans. Like we said it last year when they fired Carthon. What did I say? If you're going to fire Carthon, you might as well fire Callahan. Because if you don't, you're just keeping this separate timeline thing going. You're going to end up firing Callahan at some point, and there you'll be again with a general manager on a different timeline than the coach, and this whole cycle just continues and repeats itself all over again. And, it, you know, it went even worse than I thought it would. It's six games in the next year that we're talking about Callahan being gone, and now we're already looking for another head coach here. And they've just been traveling through an absolute minefield since 2022. That's what they've been doing. And, I mean, if you're a Titans fan, I don't know how you could possibly have any faith right now, save for Cam Ward, I guess, that this thing is going to change anytime soon because of how rudderless this thing has been for the last 4 years. Like, it's just, it's an absolute, it's just body shot after body shot after body shot that Titans fans are taking right now.
It's brutal. To the previous caller, I get like the sentiment of, you know, don't go, nobody merge, all that stuff. I mean, that's like there are very few ways, right, that fans can make themselves kind of heard in a situation like this. But the problem with the NFL is that you can do all that stuff, and like the TV deal is gonna, they're gonna be fine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
The TV rights deal gets everybody paid, and they share the money. So the Titans get, you know, the
as
Titans
you said, get it's a good same, thing to be in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a very good thing to be in the NFL. You're kind of insulated from a lot of that stuff, you know. But still. If you're the Titans, I would hope that you would be alarmed by the scenes at like you said earlier. You know, you got the number one pick debuting, and it's like just tracks. So you could drive a truck up in the upper deck. And my goodness, this scene Sunday, it's going to be interesting. You would hope that that would bother people. But, hey, they're out there. I get it. It's funny. But they're out there. Hey, you said if we fire Brian Callahan, you'd buy tickets. Come on, buddy. It's like immediately just stomp on his grave to make a buck.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Where are the Titans headed from here? We got one more segment coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans have fired Brian Callahan. Where do things go from here? Let's head to our phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the show. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
You should be happy, Adam. This is your dream.
Dude, I can't believe they treated this coach that way, man. Like, he needed five more games to figure it out. No, hey, it's a great day because what was going to happen, Joe, is I was going to go to the stadium this week, because I'm right by the tunnel anyway. I was just going to boo him, and then I was going to clap for Vrabel, and I'm going to look like that kind of fan, like a terrible fan, and now I get to hate Vrabel again. Because, you know what, even so, like, even in light of the Callahan stuff, that play better, coach better bullcrap that Vrabel did just sticks in my head. Dude, yeah, I remember the last 2 years. We can pretend like he's a savior, he's great. You know what, he also got, you know, like 90% of our players hurt 2 years in a row.
He was out there just hitting them with a crowbar.
Just out there with the pad, laying it in too strong, something like that. But no, dude, I'm able to be a better fan today than I was yesterday. I'm happy she did it. I'm sure she's like, I really don't want to do it because he's so sweet and we love Brian Callahan. He's a nice guy. But when you look at the hire, dude, and let her like just relive the history of it, he didn't deserve that job. He didn't.
If you're going to say that, Adam, if you're going to say that, then every single cycle, most guys don't deserve the job because these are the guys who get the jobs. I'm sorry, man.
No,
it didn't.
No,
it worked.
No,
you're wrong. You are trying to go back and revise history. He was a top candidate to get a job. He is Joe Brady doesn't deserve a job. You better not give him a job.
What the hell are you talking
about? We have seen him. No, you're wrong, Adam.
My dad's good at offensive line, and he went to the Super Bowl with Gruden's team. I deserve a job. No, dude, you don't deserve anything.
Okay.
Nothing.
Like, we saw him be bad as a coach. He deserved to be fired. Leave it at that. Don't sit there and go back and say, oh, he never should have got the job. That's why multiple teams were trying to hire him. He was listed as the top candidate 2 cycles ago.
I'm absolutely going back to that because that's the problem. They're fixing to do the same thing. They're going to hire somebody else who's also unqualified for the job. So what I'm saying is hire somebody who's already been a coach. Don't hire this dude who's never doesn't deserve it, has never called plays, and just has a dad who was successful.
Mike McCarthy, come on down, baby. Here we go. Thank you, Adam, for the call.
I mean, this is I feel bad.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
I yelled a little bit too much at Adam there. But it's like this whole, like, he stole – it's his daddy as the O-line coach. He was the OC of a team that got to the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, like –
Joe Brady calls plays.
He was also in that player survey, like the number one guy. I mean, all that stuff. Like, we're going to – it turned out to be he's a bad coach. This happens. But if you're going to go by Adam's rationale there, Joe Brady better sure as hell not get an interview with anybody.
Joe Brady calls plays.
Why would he? Okay. Joe Brady calls plays. That's the only distinction.
Well, there's a difference.
Okay, so again, why the hell was Sean McVay? Why the hell was Kyle? Why the hell was Kevin O'Connell?
I mean, you're just asking me what the difference is.
D'Amico Ryans, how did he get that damn job? Go on and on through the league. It's like, I'm sorry, but this is how it's done. I don't disagree that head coaching experience is good and should be prioritized here, but you can't go back and say, see, he had no qualifications. There was no reason to hire him. They totally botched it. At the time, everybody was like, oh, yeah, you won, Brian Callahan. Yay. Sorry, Adam. I'm sorry for yelling at you.
Let's head back to the phone line. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. How we doing?
Morning. How y'all doing?
Doing good, buddy. Good.
Hey, I just want to say, I don't understand why the Titans keep promoting people that don't have any experience doing the jobs that they're supposed to do in the effect of doing that job. I don't understand it. This new guy, that Mike McCoy guy, probably don't have an ounce of quarterback college knowledge as far as the directing people. I don't understand how he got the job. And, you know, it's like you could lead a horse to the water, but he won't drink the water. That's pretty much the situation with Cam Ward. You could throw 100 plays at Cam Ward, and Cam Ward won't figure out on how to implement these plays.
I knew we'd get to this. I knew we'd get to Cam Ward. You are the biggest Cam Ward hater in the world.
Hey, and you know it's true. You know he can't implement these plays on the field, and it's Cam Ward. I'm telling you, it's Cam Ward. And I told y'all so, and y'all have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, Trey.
All right, he's the best. I want
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Cam Ward's the worst quarterback of all time.
Sucks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trey.
I mean, Mike McCoy was a head coach.
Yeah, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, so, I mean,
does have experience.
Not to nitpick that amazing call, but yeah, like the other options for interim coach actually wouldn't have experience. Mike McCoy's been a head coach for multiple years. He coached Philip Rivers, so actually
not necessarily a good head coach, but he's been a head coach.
Right, not a winning head coach. He's a fired head coach, but he does have the experience.
He does. We'll see how it goes.
Maybe he's the next Mike Mularkey. Maybe it just is totally history repeating itself a decade later.
Oh, and by the way,
imagine that.
Let me just go on record and say, I don't really care what the Titans do the rest of the way out, which, by the way, is not going to be all that impressive. Like, I will be stunned if they win multiple games moving forward. But regardless of what they do, barring, like, some miracle, just go ahead and get rid of the staff. Let's get a new staff in here. Like, let's not overcomplicate this. Let's get a new staff and a new coach and a coach that picks his own staff. And I don't need Denard Wilson to be the defensive coordinator next year. I don't need Nick Holt anywhere around the football team, and I don't think that's going to happen for sure. But, like, let's go ahead and get a new staff in. That's fine. Let's not overcomplicate it.
I think I would tend to agree. Now, if this ragtag group goes out there and just all of a sudden lights it up, and Cam looks great, and you know, then hey, I'll be open to new information. I just don't think we're going to get any.
Yeah, I mean, it better look pretty darn good.
I mean, it better be like, oh my God.
Mike McCoy is just an absolute genius out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to imagine. But the thing is, you do want, if you're any of those guys, and I'm sure Nick Holtz will be like, well, that's fine, I didn't get the interim job. But you want this interim job, especially for the guys who've never been head coach, because if you show even a little bit of life as the interim coach of this team, you're not going to get the job, right? But, like, that's, hey, I did better than the head coach, right?
Imagine if Vrabel loses to Mike McCoy.
Oh, my
God. The script has flipped, baby. There's no pressure on the Titans now heading into this. None.
It is really
it's all
interesting.
On the Patriots.
Like, I could see them being just a complete dead fish, you know, flopping around out there and just like an embarrassing day. But also, maybe they just go out and cut it loose and hit a couple big plays, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, they beat Mike Vrabel. Can you imagine?
I'll be disappointed if the first play from scrimmage from the Titans is not a deep shot down the field. Take a shot, baby. Let's go. Set the tone.
Ever, ever take a shot. See, we talked football today. And the Preds, they're 2-0-1.
They are. 615-737-1025. We'll have you covered all day long here on 102.5 The Game. That does it for us today. Paul Kuharsky with us on the program tomorrow. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.